from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very excited to be here with you on this wonderful Monday. I am here. Rob is here. We did not get a chance to play college football 25 today. I am looking forward to the tournament tomorrow. I have been practicing and playing over the weekend. Now, the results are not much better for me than they were last week, when I was Tony Romo, turnovers left and right. But you know what? I'm feeling confident heading into this tournament. I can't talk too much smack. If I was a little better at this game, trust me, I'd be doing a lot of yapping. You know what? My goal is like a mid-major. I'm just hoping to get out of the first round. You know? Rob, I'm going to be lined up against somebody. I just want to win that first one. I lose that second one, the game's the game. I just want to get out of round one. And as long as I get out of round one, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. It's a positive, successful tournament for at C. Harrison. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win a pizza and how many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight. We got a busy week. We have 4 games of that this week. The Royals play at home on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, off day on Thursday, and they have a Friday home game against the Cubs. That might actually be the most attended game in the history of how many people are going to Kauffman Stadium. I'm really excited about a fun week with you guys. We got a lot planned over the course of the next few days or so. We'll actually start with the Kansas City Chiefs, who have begun training camp. But before we do that,
pizza time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. Caller number 6 is a winner, unlike you in college football. 913-586-7610. They win a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They got the new spot in Waldo. It's open for business. They got spots all around the city. They got OP, Lee Summit, Midtown, North KC, and St. Joe with a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wines. So, Carrington, whether it's a slice or two, or you're hungry enough for a whole pie, be sure to visit them now at pizzatascio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends. I just need you to tell one friend that if you want some of the best pizza in Kansas City and you also are excited about the return of college football by EA Sports, and keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio. Excited to meet so many of you tomorrow at our college football tournament. All right, this is where I would like to begin today's show. Football season is here. We will get to the Royals here coming up in a bit, but let's talk about last year's Kansas City Chiefs. I think you could say that last year was maybe the worst version of Patrick Mahomes that we've seen over the course of regular season. Completion percentage was, it was where it normally is. Yards were down tremendously. In 2022, Patrick Mahomes threw for 5,200 yards. Last year, he threw for 4,100. So you knocked off 1,100 yards. Patrick Mahomes went from 41 touchdown passes to 27 touchdown passes last year. Interceptions were up for Patrick Mahomes last season. Now, this is not an indictment on the Chiefs quarterback play in any way. I think this is indicative of the parts and pieces around him. I think that the Chiefs put less around him at wide receiver than we have seen at any point in his career. And the fact that Patrick Mahomes and this offense and this team were able to win the Super Bowl with the offense that they had for most of the regular season is absolutely remarkable. Why we are starting this way is I know you saw that touchdown pass this weekend from Patrick Mahomes to Xavier Worthy. And I know that you know that the Chiefs at no point last season had that in their arsenal. At no point last season, I don't care if it was training camp, I don't care if it was preseason, regular season, postseason, they did not have a single player on their roster. That includes a Hall of Famer in Kelce. That includes one of the better rookie wide receivers, maybe the best rookie wide receiver in the National Football League last year, in Rashee Rice. That was not part of their offense on day one of training camp. That looked like the old Patrick Mahomes. Rolling out to the left, stop, throw across the body, 60, 70 yards downfield, in stride, Xavier Worthy tracks the ball, touchdown. You could get the feel from the crowd of the level of excitement. You also could sense it with the team. It's training camp, so you can only take things with a grain of salt. But I am telling you that if the Chiefs now have that club back in their bag, and Happy has learned how to putt, so to speak, that is a problem for the rest of the National Football League. How do you stop this team? If you've got a capable running back in Isaiah Pacheco, who, when the Chiefs have shown a commitment to getting him the football, has shown you he can get 4, 5, 6 yards consistently through the ground. If you have a Hall of Fame tight end who's still playing at a relatively high level, if you now have the ability for the short stuff, like we saw with Rashee Rice last year, the screen plays, the plays at the line of scrimmage, if you've got a detailed route runner the way you do with Hollywood Brown, and you got a downfield, over-the-top, deep playmaking threat, we're talking about a potentially very special season in Kansas City. They did not have that ability at any point last year. They never had that ability to call that play and put that level of fear into a defense that they had the ability to beat you over the top like we just saw on day one of camp. You remember last year, day one at camp was an omen. You remember, Rob, day one, first drill, who got hurt? Kadarius Toney. That was a theme for the rest of the season. This year, fast forward, day one, Xavier Worthy makes probably the play of training camp. I don't need to see anything else. I don't need to see anything else. There's nothing else they can do offensively that will be more impressive than what I just saw them do on day one. That pass down the field to that player. Again, that play was not in their arsenal at any point last season. Rob, let's start with the Kansas City Royals here. Let's also get people a random lineup ready. We'll do that here coming up in a bit. I'm not saying this to take away at all from what the Royals did this weekend. The Royals did exactly what we all wanted and expected them to do. Boy, they just beat up on the Chicago White Sox. There's no team to see better on the schedule. You and I, Rob, were talking about how this team needs to start playing with a little bit more momentum and how the schedule was going to open up here for these first 17 days coming after the All-Star break, where you got the White Sox six times. You got the Cubs coming into town this weekend. You got a series against the Arizona Diamondbacks this week. You go on the road to play the Tigers. The Royals play a lot of either bad teams or mid over the course of the last 3 weeks. Boy, they made the White Sox pay. They absolutely pummeled the White Sox, and they've been doing that so far this entire season. They could keep playing the White Sox. They could play them today, tomorrow. I'm not sure if the White Sox were beating the Royals at any point. You want to talk about just completely outclassing another team, completely outclassing another organization, and keeping bad teams bad. It feels good to be able to look in the rearview mirror and just simply know we aren't them anymore. You don't have to worry about being the Chicago White Sox or being viewed in that way. That team is awful. And we will talk about Bobby Witt Jr. and his incredible last 2 weeks. We'll talk about Seth Lugo, where aside from throwing a no-hitter in a perfect game, I do not think you can pitch better than that. I mean, he gave you 9 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 6 strikeouts, no walks. It is impossible for you to pitch better than Seth Lugo unless you have a perfect game or a no-hitter. He was absolutely massive. He could have kept going, and I don't think the White Sox would have hit him. He could have went 10, 11 innings. They were no closer to figuring him out in inning 2 than they were in inning 8. The White Sox had just completely waved the white flag yesterday. We're done. We're cooked today. We have no chance of winning this game. So the Royals are now riding some momentum. You play certainly a tougher test. I don't want to say that Arizona is a tough test, but anybody would be a tougher test than the Chicago White Sox. You could play the team that won the College World Series, and they'd be a tougher test than the Chicago White Sox. But you got 3 games at home this week against the Arizona Diamondbacks. You got a weekend set against the Cubs. Friday is actually Mahomes bobblehead day. I imagine, is he going to be at the game? He probably will be at the game. He'll probably be at the game and then drive back up to St. Joe. I'd be surprised if Mahomes at least doesn't make an appearance, comes out, waves, throws out the first pitch, and then goes back up to St. Joe. I do think he'll be at the game on Friday. So it is a fun week planned at Kauffman Stadium. We got a fun week planned for you guys. Coming up in a bit, we'll play how many people are at Kauffman Stadium. But before we do that, hit me, Rob.
Baseball with the Royals. Carrington, watching the terrible White Sox reminded me of some terrible Royals teams. So today's random Royals lineup goes back to one of the worst, the 2006 Kansas City Royals, where on this date, the 06 Royals actually won a game 5-3 at home over the Toronto Blue Jays on a Friday night. Here is a Royals lineup from this date in 2006. Leading off, in center field, the soon-to-be Royals Hall of Famer, David DeJesus.
Gotta love it.
Batting second, in left field, Terrence Long. Batting third, the designated hitter, Mike Sweeney.
I feel bad for Mike Sweeney, just holding it down for all those years. Just going home every day from the ballpark, just unhappy.
Batting fourth and playing first base, Matt Stairs.
I love Matt Stairs. Royals legend. I would buy a Matt Stairs jersey right now. If there was one on Facebook Marketplace where you could go pick up a Matt Stairs. I want the black uniform, though. I don't want the white or the blue one. I want the black Royals uniform. I'll wear that right now.
Batting fifth in right field, it's not a snack, it's Emil Brown.
Royals legend. Please put some respect on that man's name. Royals legend.
Batting sixth at third base, Mark Tien.
Is he a Royals legend?
I would say so, yeah.
Okay.
Batting seventh.
Batting legends loose.
Loose.
Legend loose if we count Martin as a Royals legend.
Batting seventh, the former rookie of the year, the shortstop, Angel Baroa.
You always say Angel Baroa and former rookie of the year. You say it with a little bit of shade. Like, I don't like the tone of your voice when you mention Angel Baroa. I don't like it.
I mean, baseball gave him rookie of the year over Hideki Matsui, so they nailed it.
That's how good he was. You had to be there.
Batting eighth at second base, Ruben Gotay.
I actually remember him.
And batting ninth, behind the plate, John Buck.
I tell you all the time, John Buck led the Royals in home runs with 14. That was the golden era of the Royals. You guys think you got it bad now. I'm telling you.
By the way, the Royals won on this date thanks to six strong innings from Ronelvis Hernandez, who lowered his ERA to 4.34 with six innings, giving up three runs and two strikeouts. Mike McDougal saved the game for his 14th on the year, where on this date in 06, the Royals won.
That's a bad baseball team. I don't know how we thought that team was going to win a lot of games.
By the way, they won on this date in Royals history to move to 35-61.
It was a football season in Kansas City. I know it was.
In 06, it wasn't like that Chiefs team was painting the town red.
I'd rather be talking about them at River Falls than whatever they were doing down at Kauffman Stadium. They weren't doing anything down there but wasting everyone's time. All right, we need you guys to call in 913-586-7610. 913-586-7610. It is time to play. How many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight? We got a Monday night game. Rob will tell you what the attendance was over the weekend. We'll try to guess what the attendance is tonight, and we'll also tell you what promotions they have at the ballpark as the Diamondbacks come to town. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio, home of the hallowed title, Friend of the Show.
I'm very happy to be a friend of the show. It's always good to talk to you, man.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
City's favorite game. How many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight? Now, before we play, Rob, can you update us? What was the attendance on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? And can you let us know what promotions they have out of Kauffman Stadium?
Carrington, last time we played this game was Friday night, where the Royals got 26,693 to the ballpark.
It's a good crowd.
Good Friday night
crowd. Good crowd, Kansas City. Good job.
Saturday, they saw a bump from that. Saturday night at the K, 27,545 to watch the boys in blue.
27,5. We can live with that, KC. We can live with that.
And then
let
yesterday,
me guess on Sunday. They did like 22.
22 exactly on Sunday,
like,
for the Royals
team
and the White Sox.
It's like I do this for a living.
By the way, there is only one promotion available tonight, and it is a Price Chop Monday, where view-level Price Chopper tickets are cheap.
I thought they had bucket hats or something
bucket
today.
Bucket hats is tomorrow, along
and you
with
also get dollar dogs.
Yes. Double dipping tomorrow, but just Price Chop Monday today.
I might have to make that phone call. I might have to get them tickets for tomorrow's game. You telling me you can get a bucket hat and a glizzy? Oh, my goodness. That's the best deal in town. All right, you guys know the rules at this point. Closest to the attendance without going over wins a pizza. Let's play. How many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight? Johnny, you called into the drive. Johnny, I appreciate you. It is your turn to answer the question of what the attendance will be.
Yep, I've got 20,222.
All right, 20,222. I appreciate you, Johnny. Thanks for calling in today. All right, Brad, you called into the show. Brad, how many people you got going to the ball game tonight?
Yeah, I'm thinking so, a little less, but it's going to be 18,493.
All right, put you on hold there. All right, Dave, you are up. Dave, how many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight?
Man, I think between the fact that it's a Monday and tomorrow's promotions, a lot of people probably blew their money on that KC Taco this weekend. I'm going to say 17-1.
All right, 17-1. All right, let me put you on hold here. I appreciate you, Dave. All right, last one up here. Gina called into the show. Go, Gina.
I would say 20,200.
All right, 20,200 here. All right, let me put you on hold here. 20,200. All right, let me put you on hold, Gina. I appreciate you listening. All right, Rob, I have to ask you the question that everybody in Kansas City wants to know. How many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight?
Man, I usually have a really good read for this, but
I don't have any feel on what the attendance is going to be today.
I got zero feel. I mean, the boys are playing some ball.
They are
good right now. And the Diamondbacks won the World Series last year, but, like, is there any cachet? Chiefs camp? Give me 20,500 tonight. I think it's a nice crowd, and we think, oh, that's a nice little Monday, but it's still short of what we had hoped.
Say it one more time. What do you
think? 20,500.
20,500?
Mm-hmm. I do think it's the smallest game of the homestand.
All right. I think you're a little too high today. Give me 19-1. I'm going to take 19-1 out there today. 19-1. And that concludes.
Do you think it's the smallest game of the homestand? Because, like, tomorrow's a good giveaway. Wednesday, I think there's a giveaway. If I recall, I can go look it up. Then you got the Cubs in town. Like,
no, they're going to do really well this weekend.
I think
especially
this
if the weather holds. I feel like on some of these big weekends where we thought it could be big, remember the weekend they had against the Guardians about a month ago? The weather didn't fully cooperate until the Sunday, and then that's when the weather got good. So, yeah, I think yeah, probably today's the worst crowd that they have. I mean, if they get 19,000 out there, that's still a pretty good crowd. So let's see what the Royals end up doing today. Thanks to everybody for playing. How many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight? There's a lot of news and notes that are coming out of training camp. I do want to talk a little bit of football. I also want to talk about what Clark Hunt had to say as he met with the media earlier today. We were talking about the pass from training camp yesterday, and if you missed it, stop what you were doing right now, and I want you to type in Patrick Mahomes, Xavier Worthy touchdown pass, and I want you to see it because it is vintage Mahomes. But over the course of the last couple of years, the Chiefs haven't had really anybody that was capable of making a play like that downfield. Mahomes rolls to his left, airs it out. Xavier Worthy gets behind the defense, makes a big play, makes a big catch. And you could just get you could feel the excitement around, hey, we haven't had this in our offense. And in just one move, in one practice, it validated what they see in him and why they made the trade and why he was a first-round pick and why he wasn't going to be on the board too much longer. Maybe the pick doesn't pan out for whatever reason, undersize, injuries, whatever it is. In one instance, you could see the vision. You could see exactly what they see. Hey, if this thing works out and he can be this kind of player at this level, it is going to give us something in our offense that is the perfect complement to what we currently have at the quarterback position. Andy Reid met with the media. Here he is talking about Xavier Worthy and his progression.
Yeah, he's been working hard. Looks like his hamstring feels better. We just got to keep him going here and keep learning. We're just one install into it, and they've got 12 of them. So it's he's got a lot more information coming at him, and formations and shifts and motions and all that stuff. So, but, he did a nice job today.
Here is Patrick Mahomes from last week when talking about Xavier Worthy, how he needs to hit the ground running. He certainly did yesterday.
I mean, there's no easing. Like, he's going to have to get out and be ready to go. We got a lot of competition on this offense. Brett Veach and Coach Reed did a great job bringing a lot of competition in. And Xavier, I mean, he got a lot of mental work in these last few weeks that he had during OTAs and minicamp, but it's time to go now. And, I mean, y'all saw it with Rasheed last year and some of the throwing up days he had. I mean, we're gonna push you to the limit and prepare yourself to be ready to go for the season. And that's not just him. That's everybody. And everybody has to have that mentality when they come into camp.
That was Patrick Mahomes talking about Xavier Worthy. Rob, I'll let you in on this. Right now, if you're keeping up with the United States basketball, they are up 29-17. This is their final tune-up before the Olympics get going. LeBron James was named earlier today. He is going to be the flag bearer for the United States. He's the first men's basketball player to have that honor. This is not something that Nike gives you. This is not something that is corporate. The athletes in the Olympics, they get to vote on who the person is to wear the flag, and they chose for LeBron James to be the person to wear the flag during the opening ceremony for the United States. It'll be really cool to watch the opening ceremony from Paris. I believe that is Friday. You can catch that on NBC. Let's get back to the Kansas City Chiefs. Rob, talking about Xavier Worthy here. I think you and I both were on the same point that this team needed to go spend a valuable resource on a wide receiver. They did so. And to see at least the vision of what they want to do and what they can do with their offense to get that return back so quickly. I made the point in the open. I mean, last year, Kadarius Toney getting hurt on the first practice was sort of an omen, not just for him, but for the wide receiver group as a whole for most of the regular season. Could never really get going, disappointing, key injuries at certain spots. For day one, for you to come out here and set the tone, I also think it has been very apparent that the Chiefs are trying to get Xavier Worthy up to speed. Maybe that's because of Rashee Rice. Maybe they just see the potential of what he can be. The Chiefs are clearly pumping resources in to try to see this Xavier Worthy thing through. And for them to get a reward on day one with him making such a big play is a really exciting prospect for how this season could go.
I mean, it is one play of two practices of camp, but I want to credit Brett Veach. And I think you'll understand this analogy. Remember after that Bucs Super Bowl, he basically threw all his resources at offensive line. And it wasn't just getting a good offensive lineman. He had depth. Remember, they signed Kyle Long, who basically never played for the Chiefs, but they signed Joe Tooney. They then drafted Trey Smith. They signed, was it Austin Blythe to play center, a veteran from the Rams. And then they drafted Creed Humphrey. Like, they were throwing numbers. They traded for Orlando Brown. It wasn't just, hey, one or two moves and we think, you know, we can fix the offensive line issues. It was, we are throwing numbers at it because we know we need to solidify these positions. That's kind of how I feel about what the Chiefs did with Xavier Worthy. because when they drafted Xavier Worthy, I thought to myself, don't they have Xavier Worthy on the roster? His name's Hollywood Brown. A lot of their skill set the same. A lot of their body type is the same. Xavier Worthy and Marquise Brown do a lot of the same things. But you know what I think Brett Veach did? He realized, if I can't, as a GM, have my quarterback take the top off the defense and utilize his best skill set, his cannon for a right arm, it is very difficult for him. And when it's very difficult for him, yes, he still won the Super Bowl, but let's be honest, last year was a slog at times. Let's not have it be a slog for him ever again. Let's have it be easy. Let's get back to going up top and making the defense cover, you know, a quarterback, say, every blade of grass on the field. They had that Super Bowl year over the Eagles. MVS, for all our jokes, was good at going deep and caught the football that time. They didn't have it last year. And he then went out and got two players who do the same thing and thought, never again am I not having a deep threat on this team. So I like what I'm seeing from Xavier Worthy in camp. And I'm betting at some point there'll be a viral video of Marquise Brown doing a similar thing, because they are not going to just dink and dunk anymore. They're going up and over the top.
Coming up on the other side, Clark Hunt met with the media earlier today to talk about a lot of things. He talked about Rashee Rice, talked about the new stadium that the Chiefs are potentially going to have, whether it's on the Kansas or the Missouri side. It's not very often that we get a chance to hear from the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll hear from him next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here with you. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals. Denny Matthews will be on the show to give you guys an update. If you want to watch Team USA, they are on Fox right now. They are up 29-21 over Germany. Germany actually won the FIBA World Cup. So they defeated the United States a couple of years ago. That's when the United States, I mean, they just sent a very mediocre team over there. Austin Reeves was the best player on that team. I don't know how they expected to go out there and win that competition. So Germany won that, and they're down right now 29-21. Rob, I don't know if you got a chance to see the United States over the course of the weekend. South Sudan gave those boys all they could handle. They were up 18 in the first half of that game, and they needed a game-winning bucket from LeBron James to pull that one out of the fire. South Sudan is actually in their group in the Olympics, so we'll get a chance to see them in a rematch coming up in a couple of weeks at some point over the course of the Olympics. Enough USA basketball. We'll catch up with Denny Matthews here coming up in a bit. All right, I want to play for you guys what Clark Hunt had to say. We are going to play in its entirety. It's around 5 minutes. This is everything Clark Hunt had to say about the stadium. This is the whole Q&A. Let's listen together as a family.
We do have 6.5 years left on our lease at Arrowhead. And GHA Field at Arrowhead is a special place, and it's special for our fans, and it's special for the players and coaches. But we do have to look to the future, and we do need a solution starting in 2031, which I know that Mark mentioned. We're glad to have some options. We really appreciate what the Kansas legislature did in passing the upgrade to the Starbond bill that potentially would give us an opportunity to look at a stadium over there. And we're going to work very hard over the coming months and years to come up with a solution that makes sense for the organization, for the team, but also one that makes sense for the community. So we're approaching it very much with an open mind, and look forward to talking to leaders on both sides of the state line.
You got very upfront about your love of Arrowhead, trying to keep it as long as possible. Do you feel like you and the organization need to do something else to ensure that you get that extra 25 years? If you do get another chance to present it to Jackson County, or get Jackson County to have maybe a more stronger argument for keeping the stadium, do you feel like you or the organization need to do anything different?
Well, part of our evaluation over the next several months and in coming years will be looking at whether we're better off in a renovated building or in a new stadium. And that new stadium could be on the Missouri side as well. It doesn't have to be on the Kansas side. I had a bunch of season ticket holders come up to me today to share how special Arrowhead is with them, and we know that, but we do have to look to the future, and potentially having a new building, whether it's on the Missouri or Kansas side, may make the most sense.
For a long time, you were consistent in saying that your preferred outcome was a renovated Arrowhead. Do you still feel that way? Is that your desired outcome?
We're really approaching it with an open mind, and we don't have a desired outcome. We just have to find a solution that works for the community and something that works for the club.
Whenever a vote fails, there's speculation, and there's been some national punditry about the interest that maybe the Chiefs would have outside of Kansas City. Would you have? Can you see any scenario where you would consider an option outside Kansas City Metro?
Yeah. Well, we have a special connection with the community and with the Chiefs Kingdom, and our focus is very much on finding a solution here in the metropolitan area.
Have you looked at that six-month, Mark Donovan had mentioned about kind of 6 months or something with the deadline. Are you kind of putting the deadline at 6 months too, or is it something where you're more open-minded where you don't want?
Yeah, I think what Mark was trying to communicate is the urgency, and we definitely feel like this is an urgent issue that we've got to find a solution for in the near term. And I would agree with Mark that we would like to make some significant progress over the next 6 months. I know from having been through a few stadium efforts that they're slow moving and unpredictable. So to say we'll be able to get to the finish line in 6 months is probably optimistic, but we would like to make some progress.
Mark, what's most important with the training facility? What's not the stadium for you guys finding a training facility or staying in the same place?
Yeah, well, we love our training facility, but we've outgrown it. And it's hard to believe, 15, 16 years after it was built, that we've outgrown it. But every NFL team has grown in terms of the number of people, number of players, number of coaches. And long term, that's going to be part of what we have to look at. It would either be a major renovation of our existing training facility or the construction of the new training facility that would help us accommodate not only the size of the organization now, but also where we're likely to grow over the next couple of decades.
Neil, you had an opportunity to look at the possibility of cover Arrowhead Stadium, something that could be rolled or could be put on there. And in talking to the people with the architecture firms, they say it's very doable. Is that something you might revisit so that you can make that into more of a multi-purpose facility?
Yeah, well, I would say all options are on the table. And as you know, that was something that we considered 20 years ago when we were working on the renovations that took place starting in 2006. I do think we'll look at it again. I mentioned the possibility of a new stadium also on the Missouri side. And I think if we went that route, certainly we would have to look at a dome. Dome gives you an ability to host a lot of other events, which could be important for the community.
Well, lastly, with Sam and Adam, what's
a couple things. Like, just your last effort was so focused on Jackson County. Since, obviously, the options have expanded, has that time period taught you anything, or learned anything, maybe about your own preferences for what you'd like to see part of the new stadium, renovated Arrowhead, or just anything different that maybe you thought before you go?
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, our goal is to find a solution that's great for the community. I do think a renovated Arrowhead would be a very good solution, but I also think a new stadium and what that could bring to the community in terms of really big events, I think that could be really valuable. And as we go into this process, we're doing it very much with an open mind and to look at all the possibilities. Obviously, we have the pleasure every year of playing in a lot of great stadiums, some of which have been recently renovated, others are brand new, a lot of dome buildings. And we always use those opportunities to tour those buildings and think about, okay, what could we incorporate, whichever direction we end up going.
All right, that was Clark Hunt, owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, as he met with the media earlier today. He only does about three of those over the course of the season. So anytime he speaks, we certainly need to listen. This was appearance number one for him. Next time I think we'll hear from him will probably be around the bye week. You'll hear from him usually around the playoffs, around the Super Bowl. Maybe he'll do one other appearance between during those times, but it's four at the absolute most that you will hear from Clark Hunt over the course of the season. This was the first appearance for him over the course of the year. All right, let's break down what he said, Rob. Number one, he said that he believes Arrowhead is a special place. I think we all would agree there. I don't think that's a controversial statement. My question to him would then be, your renovations that were proposed to the city didn't really communicate that you feel that way about Arrowhead. You and I, our reaction when we first saw the renovations was, eh. We've seen some stadium renovations that have completely rejuvenized a building. That's not at all what their renovation plan was. For a place that we all think is special and is one of the best venues in America, they did not treat it like that over the course of the last 6 months, at least not with their plan. That's how Lambeau got treated when it was time for a renovation. That's how Fenway got treated when it was time for a renovation. That is not how Arrowhead got treated when it was time. They did some cosmetic changes to it and added a couple of suites to try to maximize revenue. So if you believe that it is a special place that is worth preserving, I need to see the tangible evidence that you feel that way based on the plans of it. I then also heard him say, they've outgrown the practice facility, and if they're going to need a new practice facility, I then don't know why you build a brand new state-of-the-art practice facility and then have a renovation on a stadium that was built in 1972. It just doesn't add up to me. I understand that they're going to say we're keeping all options on the table, but all options are not on the table. You are not putting a roof over the current structure at Arrowhead. I know you don't want to just come out and say it, but that wasn't part of the last renovations. I strongly doubt that it is part of this next one. You're not putting a roof on where the building is. That's not to say there can't be a roof on the new building, whether it's on the Missouri side or the Kansas side. But the building that we all have been going to for most of our lives, they are not putting a dome over that. They are not putting a rolling roof structure, none of that, over the stadium that they currently have. That would have been proposed already. So I don't really think that there's much to take away from what we just heard him say, other than we've outgrown our practice facility, which I think the players have told you that you've outgrown your practice facility, that you weren't going to be in there too much longer. So he's already setting it up. We need a new practice facility, and we obviously either need major renovations to the structure that we have now, or we need a completely brand new stadium. So I think he confirmed what we knew. They have two options. They have new stadium in Missouri with a brand new practice facility, or they have brand new stadium in Kansas with a brand new stadium facility. There is no scenario to me in which their plan is brand new practice facility and fresh coat of paint on old Arrowhead. I just don't see that as being very viable anymore.
I think if you listen to everything he said, he definitely implied that new is the way to go. Because he said, you know, we like other stadiums that have been renovated or rebuilt or built in the last couple of years. He mentioned how, you know, building new doesn't per se mean we're going to Kansas. We've definitely explored options of building new. Like, he talked about new in a positive way. And every time he talked about renovations, he goes, you know, all options are on the table. I think he was saying it without saying it. They want new. And he said it there. Hey, the question was about a dome, and I don't think a dome is viable on current Arrowhead, but he definitely mentioned, yeah, having an enclosed facility would be great because it'd be enormous for the community, whether that be in Kansas or Missouri. Yeah, I think whatever the future of Arrowhead is, it's in a place that is going to be an event center. It's not just this place holds 9 to 12 football games a year. It's going to try to host Final Fours. It's going to try to host, you know, beer fest, barbecue fest, things of that nature, F1, whatever you want to come to Kansas City. It's going to be an event structure. And for it to be an event structure, you have to have a roof. And to get a roof, you probably have to build new. I'm not saying that's in Kansas. It might be right where it is now, but I have a hunch that if we strap Clark Hunt up to the polygraph and said, hey, do you want new or renovate? He would say new. I want new because then you can do more things that both benefit him, the Chiefs, and the community as a whole. The way it's currently set up, a renovation just helps the Chiefs. It doesn't help the community at large.
Yeah, and just, I mean, more and more as we are just further and further away, the renovations that they put together were just so lackluster. It just, to me, more fuels the theories that the Chiefs never really wanted it to pass. That the Chiefs want to be in the position that they're in right now. The Chiefs want to be in the position where they have Missouri and Kansas fighting over how much money they are going to give them. The renovation that they proposed were very, very lackluster. They were bad. Now you put yourself in a position where you are going to be able to squeeze maximum leverage out of both sides. And that's how you get a brand new state-of-the-art facility that somebody else is going to pay for. And if you believe in the star bonds, 70% of the stadium paid for by the residents of the state of Kansas. So whatever scenario they choose to go with, the failing of the tax gives them way more leverage than they had and a lot more capital and resources than they had before that they don't have to come up with, which is obviously the spot that I believe the Chiefs really want it to be. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Denny Matthews, the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals. Denny Matthews will be on the show coming up in just a bit. Now, Rob, I don't want to paint this next part like I am exempt from it because I definitely was involved. I definitely was in the conversation. Did you know that Jake Paul fought this weekend? Now, Jake Paul fought a man by the name of Mike Perry. I don't know who Mike Perry is. I never heard of Mike Perry before.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here with you. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals. Denny Matthews will be on the show to give you guys an update. If you want to watch Team USA, they are on Fox right now. They are up 29-21 over Germany. Germany actually won the FIBA World Cup. So they defeated the United States a couple of years ago. That's when the United States, I mean, they just sent a very mediocre team over there. Austin Reeves was the best player on that team. I don't know how they expected to go out there and win that competition. So Germany won that. and they're down right now 29-21. Rob, I don't know if you got a chance to see the United States over the course of the weekend. South Sudan gave those boys all they could handle. They were up 18 in the first half of that game, and they needed a game-winning bucket from LeBron James to pull that one out of the fire. South Sudan is actually in their group in the Olympics, so we'll get a chance to see them in a rematch coming up in a couple of weeks at some point over the course of the Olympics. Enough USA basketball. We'll catch up with Denny Matthews here coming up in a bit. All right, I want to play for you guys what Clark Hunt had to say. We are going to play in its entirety. It's around 5 minutes. This is everything Clark Hunt had to say about the stadium. This is the whole Q&A. Let's listen together as a family.
We do have 6.5 years left on our lease at Arrowhead. And GAHA Field at Arrowhead is a special place, and it's special for our fans, and it's special for the players and coaches. But we do have to look to the future, and we do need a solution starting in 2031, which I know that Mark mentioned. We're glad to have some options. We really appreciate what the Kansas legislature did in passing the upgrade to the Star Bond bill that potentially would give us an opportunity to look at a stadium over there. And we're going to work very hard over the coming months and years to come up with a solution that makes sense for the organization, for the team, but also one that makes sense for the community. So we're approaching it very much with an open mind and look forward to talking to leaders on both sides of the state line.
You got very upfront about your love of Arrowhead, trying to keep it as long as possible. Do you feel like you and the organization need to do something else to ensure that you get that extra 25 years if you do get another chance to present it to Jackson County, or get Jackson County to have maybe a more stronger argument for keeping the stadium? Do you feel like you or the organization need to do anything different?
Well, part of our evaluation over the next several months and in coming years will be looking at whether we're better off in a renovated building or in a new stadium. And that new stadium could be on the Missouri side as well. It doesn't have to be on the Kansas side. I had a bunch of season ticket holders come up to me today to share how special Arrowhead is with them, and we know that, but we do have to look to the future, and potentially having a new building, whether it's on the Missouri or Kansas side, may make the most sense.
You were consistent in saying that your preferred outcome was a renovated Arrowhead. Do you still feel that way? Is that your desired outcome?
We're really approaching it with an open mind, and not we don't have a desired outcome. We just have to find a solution that works for the community and something that works for the club.
Whenever a vote fails, there's speculation, and there's been some national punditry about the interest that maybe the Chiefs would have outside of Kansas City. Would you have? Can you see any scenario where you would consider an option outside Kansas City Metro?
Yeah, well, we have a special connection with the community and with the Chiefs Kingdom, and our focus is very much on finding a solution here in the metropolitan area.
Have you looked into that 6 month? Mark Donovan had mentioned about kind of 6 months or something with the deadline. Are you kind of putting the deadline at 6 months too, or is it something where you're more open minded where you don't want?
Yeah, I think what Mark was trying to communicate is the urgency, and we definitely feel like this is an urgent issue that we've got to find a solution for in the near term. And I would agree with Mark that we would like to make some significant progress over the next 6 months. I know from having been through a few stadium efforts that they're slow moving and unpredictable. So to say we'll be able to get to the finish line in 6 months is probably optimistic, but we would like to make some progress.
Mark, what's most important with the training facility? What's not the stadium for you guys finding a training facility or staying in the same place?
Yeah, well, we love our training facility, but we've outgrown it. And it's hard to believe, 15, 16 years after it was built, that we've outgrown it. But every NFL team has grown in terms of the number of people, number of players, number of coaches. And long term, that's going to be part of what we have to look at. It would either be a major renovation of our existing training facility or the construction of the new training facility that would help us accommodate not only the size of the organization now, but also where we're likely to grow over the next couple of decades.
Neil, you had an opportunity to look at the possibility of
cover Arrowhead Stadium, something that could be rolled or could be put on there. And I'm talking to the people in the architecture firms, they say it's very doable. Is that something you might revisit so that you can make that into more of a multi-purpose facility?
Yeah, well, I would say all options are on the table. And as you know, that was something that we considered 20 years ago when we were working on the renovations that took place starting in 2006. I do think we'll look at it again. I mentioned the possibility of a new stadium also on the Missouri side. And I think if we went that route, certainly we would have to look at a dome. Dome gives you an ability to host a lot of other events, which could be important for the community.
Well, actually, with Sam and Adam,
yeah, a couple things. Like, your last effort with the voters was so focused on Jackson County. Since, obviously, the options have expanded, as you know, that time period taught you anything, if you learned anything, maybe about your own preferences for what you'd like to see part of the new stadium, renovating your own, just anything really fun that you may have thought before you go.
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, our goal is to find a solution that's great for the community. I do think a renovated Arrowhead would be a very good solution, but I also think a new stadium and what that could bring to the community in terms of really big events, I think that could be really valuable. And as we go into this process, we're doing it very much with an open mind and to look at all the possibilities. Obviously, we have the pleasure every year of playing in a lot of great stadiums, some of which have been recently renovated. Others are brand new, a lot of dome buildings. And we always use those opportunities to tour those buildings and think about, okay, what could we incorporate, whichever direction we end up going.
All right, that was Clark Hunt, owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, as he met with the media earlier today. He only does about three of those over the course of the season. So anytime he speaks, we certainly need to listen. This was appearance number one for him. Next time I think we'll hear from him will probably be around the bye week. You'll hear from him usually around the playoffs, around the Super Bowl. Maybe he'll do one other appearance between during those times, but it's four at the absolute most that you will hear from Clark Hunt over the course of the season. This was the first appearance for him over the course of the year. All right, let's break down what he said, Rob. Number one, he said that he believes Arrowhead is a special place. I think we all would agree there. I don't think that's a controversial statement. My question to him would then be, your renovations that were proposed to the city didn't really communicate that you feel that way about Arrowhead. You and I, our reaction when we first saw the renovations was, eh. We've seen some stadium renovations that have completely rejuvenized a building. That's not at all what their renovation plan was. For a place that we all think is special and is one of the best venues in America, they did not treat it like that over the course of the last 6 months, at least not with their plan. That's how Lambeau got treated when it was time for a renovation. That's how Fenway got treated when it was time for a renovation. That is not how Arrowhead got treated when it was time. They did some cosmetic changes to it and added a couple of suites to try to maximize revenue. So if you believe that it is a special place that is worth preserving, I need to see the tangible evidence that you feel that way based on the plans of it. I then also heard him say they've outgrown the practice facility, and if they're going to need a new practice facility, I then don't know why you build a brand new state-of-the-art practice facility and then have a renovation on a stadium that was built in 1972. It just doesn't add up to me. I understand that they're going to say we're keeping all options on the table, but all options are not on the table. You are not putting a roof over the current structure at Arrowhead. I know you don't want to just come out and say it, but that wasn't part of the last renovations. I strongly doubt that it is part of this next one. You're not putting a roof on where the building is. That's not to say there can't be a roof on the new building, whether it's on the Missouri side or the Kansas side. But the building that we all have been going to for most of our lives, they are not putting a dome over that. They're not putting a rolling roof structure, none of that, over the stadium that they currently have. That would have been proposed already. So I don't really think that there's much to take away from what we just heard him say, other than we've outgrown our practice facility, which I think the players have told you that you've outgrown your practice facility, that you weren't going to be in there too much longer. So he's already setting it up. We need a new practice facility, and we obviously either need major renovations to the structure that we have now, or we need a completely brand new stadium. So I think he confirmed what we knew. They have two options. They have new stadium in Missouri with a brand new practice facility, or they have brand new stadium in Kansas with a brand new stadium facility. There is no scenario to me in which their plan is brand new practice facility and fresh coat of paint on old Arrowhead. I just don't see that as being very viable anymore.
I think if you listen to everything he said, he definitely implied that new is the way to go. Because he said, you know, we like other stadiums that have been renovated or rebuilt or built in the last couple of years. He mentioned how, you know, building new doesn't per se mean we're going to Kansas. We've definitely explored options of building new. Like, he talked about new in a positive way. And every time he talked about renovations, he goes, you know, all options are on the table. I think he was saying it without saying it. They want new. And he said it there. Hey, the question was about a dome. And I don't think a dome is viable on current Arrowhead, but he definitely mentioned, yeah, having an enclosed facility would be great because it'd be enormous for the community, whether that be in Kansas or Missouri. Yeah, I think whatever the future of Arrowhead is, it's in a place that is going to be an event center. It's not just this place holds 9 to 12 football games a year. It's going to try to host Final Fours. It's going to try to host, you know, beer fest, barbecue fest, things of that nature, F1, whatever you want to come to Kansas City. It's going to be an event structure. And for it to be an event structure, you have to have a roof. And to get a roof, you probably have to build new. I'm not saying that's in Kansas. It might be right where it is now, but I have a hunch that if we strap Clark Hunt up to the polygraph and said, hey, do you want new or renovate? He would say new. I want new because then you can do more things that both benefit him, the Chiefs, and the community as a whole. The way it's currently set up, a renovation just helps the Chiefs. It doesn't help the community at large.
Yeah, and just, I mean, more and more as we are just further and further away, the renovations that they put together were just so lackluster. It just, to me, more fuels the theories that the Chiefs never really wanted it to pass. That the Chiefs want to be in the position that they're in right now. The Chiefs want to be in the position where they have Missouri and Kansas fighting over how much money they are going to give them. The renovation that they proposed were very, very lackluster. They were bad. Now you put yourself in a position where you are going to be able to squeeze maximum leverage out of both sides. And that's how you get a brand new state-of-the-art facility that somebody else is going to pay for. And if you believe in the star bonds, 70% of the stadium paid for by the residents of the state of Kansas. So whatever scenario they choose to go with, the failing of the tax gives them way more leverage than they had and a lot more capital and resources than they had before that they don't have to come up with, which is obviously the spot that I believe the Chiefs really want it to be. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Denny Matthews, the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals. Denny Matthews will be on the show coming up in just a bit. Now, Rob, I don't want to paint this next part like I am exempt from it because I definitely was involved. I definitely was in the conversation. Did you know that Jake Paul fought this weekend? Now, Jake Paul fought a man by the name of Mike Perry. I don't know who Mike Perry is. I never heard of Mike Perry before. I was not convinced that Mike Perry was a real individual. Now, I was not checking for Jake Paul. I didn't really know who Jake Paul was. I knew he was a YouTuber. I believe he and his brother got in trouble. I think it was some forest, and I don't remember the story. But they got in trouble with something on YouTube. That was the first time I heard of these kids. Fast forward, the punch heard round the world. You remember that. Oh, what a day it was to be on social media when Jake Paul knocked out Nate Robinson. I mean, kaboom, dropped that boy. Then he beat Ben Askren. Then he beat Tyrone Woodley a couple of times. Anderson Silva. all right, he started fighting people I had heard of before. I mean, that was a little past their prime. That was a little washed, but he was at least fighting dudes I heard of before. Then he lost to Tommy Fury, which sounds like a failed SoundCloud rapper. He lost to Tommy Fury. And then it has just been a series of you fighting individuals I've never heard of before. Now, I heard of Nate Diaz, UFC fighter. I heard of him before. Rob, he fought Andre August, who sounds like a made-up creative name generator on the new college football game. He fought a Ryan Borland. Who in the world is Ryan Borland? And then he fought a Mike Perry. Jake, come here. Let me talk to you real quick. We're over it. I'm over it. Rob is over it. America is over it. Please fight somebody we've heard of. When are you fighting Mike Tyson again? Are you fighting Mike Tyson soon? I know Mike was sick and he was on the plane. And he had the ulcer. Okay, that's fine. All right. Can you please fight people we've heard of? Or I still don't understand why this wasn't the plan. Why doesn't Jake Paul fight Conor McGregor? Texan, I know you're going to tell me there's something with UFC and contracts. Was he under contract when he fought Floyd Mayweather? I don't have the answer to this. But isn't that a fight that would get us excited? Isn't that a fight that people would pay for? Isn't that a fight that you would travel to go see? This man fought in Tampa, Florida. That's not a boxing haven. This wasn't Atlantic City. This wasn't over in Saudi Arabia where they throwing money around. This wasn't in Las Vegas or Cowboys Stadium. You fought in Tampa, Florida. Please go fight Conor McGregor. You get you guys on the tour promoting this thing. You go on First Take. You go on Undisputed. You go on podcasts. You guys make fun of each other. You push each other. You curse each other out. People will hand you money. And you will get people, again, excited to watch you fight, Jake. I don't want to watch you fight Mike Perry, bruh. I really don't. If you're going to fight people that aren't legitimate boxers, at least fight people that get us excited and people that we care about and people that we know. Who is Ryan Borland? Who is Mike Perry? I've never heard of these people before. You can't even get me to watch these fights for free. I'm not watching these fights on Fire Stick Records. I'm not streaming these. I'm not going on stream east, west, north, or south to watch any of these fights. Please stop doing these. That is my appeal to you, Jake Paul. Save us. Please save us. Fight somebody that we know. Fight somebody with a little bit of skill. Please stop doing this. He gets my good and bad weekend. He gets my good weekend because he was a legalized bank robber. He gets my bad weekend because he's a legalized bank robber.
I mean, I don't disagree with you on fight Conor McGregor, but if text line says November 5th, he's fighting Mike Tyson. If he gets walloped by Tyson, which is an impossible belief, Mike Tyson at one point in his prime was a legitimately very good boxer. If he gets beat up by Tyson, is there any appetite for watching him fight a real fighter anymore? The one time we saw him fight a real fighter was that Fury character, and he lost. Other than that, it's been tomato cans and guys cashing a paycheck. Like, if he lost to Tyson, you're telling me he does Conor McGregor, you're interested? Or is it all over and gone if he keeps bumping into real fighters and getting whooped?
Somebody said Jake Perry is the bare knuckle champion. Bro, he just got knocked out by Jake Paul. Whatever level you're fighting at, if Jake Paul knocks you out, I don't want to hear that you were a champion. I don't want to hear it. Someone on the text line says, I went to school with a Michael Perry. Hopefully it wasn't this Michael Perry. Now, I'm not saying Michael Perry ain't got no fighting chops. I'm sure he has some fighting chops. He fought in the UFC for a little bit. He's done some other stuff. Sure. I just saw you get knocked out by Jake Paul. I just saw in the sixth round, that man knocked you out. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about it. You have fought two boxing matches. Rob, he lost to a Kenneth McNeil and Jake Paul. Please stop boxing. Go back to bare knuckle fighting. Go back to UFC. Go back to MMA, Bellator. Do that little power slap game that I see online. Please do anything else. You are not a boxer, and that's okay. Everybody doesn't have every single skill. You've proven to be a decent UFC fighter. You know, 14-8. All right, you knocked some guys out, some submissions. All right, you've proved to be a capable UFC fighter. I get it. You wanted to chase that bag. You let Jake Paul beat you up on DAZN on pay-per-view for a little money. I get it. For a little shekels. Please, I don't ever want to see you get in the boxing ring again if you get knocked out by Jake Paul. I'm serious. You're done. You're cooked. Your boxing career is over if you get knocked out by Jake Paul. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Denny Matthews, the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals. We'll talk about the weekend for the Royals. They beat up on the White Sox, worse than Jake Paul beat up on Mike Perry. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.